Thank you. John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, kindly turn to John's Gospel, that we may all find much help and encouragement and comfort. Are you distressed? Are you stressed? Are you discouraged? Giving up hope? Come, let us read. John's Gospel, chapter 10. The Lord Jesus says, mind you, we are going to read all his words. And he begins with, verily, verily. These two words means very important. He's touching on a fundamental truth. And unless you understand it perfectly, and you accept it and apply it in your life, you will not find the peace and joy in your life. So verse 1 says, verily, verily, which means truly, earnestly and sincerely, I say to you, are you listening? The Lord says, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is the thief and the robber. Why was our Lord touching on this theme? This theme is very timely and relevant for us today, as it was in his day, because the established church of that day, the temple worship, was in the hands of ungodly people. Therefore, the Lord had to open up this subject and talk to the people about it, that there are many in that established church of that day who were not true shepherds of the sheep. Sheep are the people of God, and the church is like a sheepfold. Right, you get the context and the picture. And as you all know, sheep are not known for super intelligence. In fact, they're quite dumb. But they're still precious to the shepherd. And the Lord says, I'm going to tell you something very important. Here is the sheepfold. And not all who enter in to look after the sheep are good people. In his day, there were those who were called scribes and Pharisees. And they were the establishment. They were the power. They called the shots. They taught the people. They expounded the law, the word of God. But they were not good shepherds. In fact, this first verse says, they are thieves, they're robbers. Why? Let's look on, look through. Stanza, verse 2. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. True, of course. I want to give you a little idea, understanding of what the sheepfold is. In those days, and even in these days, the sheepfold is made with a perimeter of stones, pieces of rock placed about maybe 3 feet high or 4 feet high. And this rock perimeter in a circle will form an enclosure and leaving a space maybe that wide. And all the sheep will canter into that fold. You get the picture? The flocks are not big in the Holy Land, in God's day, in the Lord's day. Usually 30, 40, 50, 70. Not very big. Not like the Australian and New Zealand flocks. 3,000, 4,000. And they are moved around by sheepdogs with mechanical helps. Yes. You press a button, call a note, and all the sheep respond to mechanical devices. Not there. Everything is dependent on the one man called the shepherd. And he says in verse 2, please follow, he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. This sheepfold of enclosure of rocks gives certain security to the sheep, so that wild animals are kept out, and the sheep are kept in the fold for the night, and whenever they are not traveling, they're kept in there. Now the door is an open space where there are no rocks, maybe this big, and the shepherd sits by that door. At night, he sleeps by that door, and no animal or intruders get into that sheepfold except past him. When he goes out and in, the sheep knows who it is. He does not have to climb over the 3 or 4 foot high enclosure. He doesn't have to. He walks in by that little door. Now, what does the Lord say? Verse 2. He that enters in by the door is the shepherd, of course. You are the shepherd. Those are your sheep. You lead them in, put them all in. You lie there to sleep for the night. Next morning, you say, let's go. And the sheep will follow you. You enter in by that door. You walk out by that door. And all the sheep understand who you are, where the door is. Where is the door? The door is the shepherd. The shepherd is there all the time guarding the sheep. So that gives you an idea and a better understanding. Verse 2. He that enters in by that door is the shepherd. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. It's very important here to understand. I said a moment ago, sheep are very dumb. Why are they dumb? Do you know? Can you tell me? Why are sheep so dumb? Answer, God made them dumb. That's all. Very simple. God makes every animal with certain characteristics, a certain nature to every animal. Tigers naturally fierce, and lions and so on. But sheep are the most timid of all animals. Now what does it say here? Verse 3 says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Sheep, though dumb, have got that tremendous instinct that their computer system there is attuned to one voice. This is so. When the shepherd calls, they all understand, even as much as you who have dogs, you know, when you call, the dog responds. But in the case of the sheep, very much more so. They understand the voice, the tone, the pitch, the kind of meaning behind that voice. In a day, there may be 2 or 3 shepherds, and they confer one with another on the green pasture. And all the sheep all mixed up together. Right, you have 20, I have 30, he has got 40. And all the sheep will be mingling and eating grass. End of the day, there are 3 shepherds and 3 flocks. What do they do? When you call, your sheep separate from the rest and follow you. The other shepherd does the same. And very soon you see the mixed group become 3 groups because they all take to your voice only. Now, this has immense application. Just as we all are the flock of God, we who are truly part of that flock, we are attuned to the voice of our Savior, who is the great shepherd of the sheep. You understand that? How do you know his voice? Here is the voice. The word of God given to us is the voice of God speaking to us. When you come to church and you hear the voice reading this, it is God's word speaking to you. And when you hear this, my sheep hear my voice. Immediately there is a response from the heart. Just now we recited verse 9, is that right? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. What is the response when you hear that? The sheep hears the shepherd say so. Immediately there is an amen in your heart. Isn't that so? Because you know your shepherd. You know this wonderful man who looks after you, who puts himself at the door at night to shield you from predators, wild beasts, who guards you from attack from outside. When he calls you, there is a response immediately. I say this response is from this book. How much do you love that voice? The voice of the shepherd. Not any voice. Supposing one day there could be another preacher here who says something else. If you are a true sheep of God, and if the man who stands here is speaking another message, immediately you will know. Even as I said, at the end of the day, three flocks, three shepherds. When each of them gives the call, sometimes maybe a whistle, maybe some kind of other call. In Switzerland, they use yodeling, the yodel, and the sheep respond. Immediately, the sheep separate. Why? Because that's my shepherd calling. And he is my good shepherd. He's the one who loves me and cares for me. From the time I was born, the shepherd looks after that little sheep, that lamb, and then nurtures it, carries it in the arms, gives it good food. That is, grows up. How strong is the bond? Do you have the bond? Nowadays, they talk a lot about bonding. Do you have the bonding with your shepherd? That when you hear his voice, you're glad. When you hear his voice in the morning, say, come and read the word of God. Are you glad? Ah, my friends, let's continue. We don't have too much time. To him the porter openeth. Who is the porter who opens? Oh, my friends, our Lord Jesus himself is the porter, you know. His shepherd, his porter. And if you develop the theme, you find that he is the Lamb of God also, amazing, wonderful Savior. Now let's go on. Verse 4. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Ah, if you go to Australia and New Zealand, you don't get that. When the Australian shepherd gives a command, the sheepdog move the sheep, and the shepherd's at the back, the sheep run on. In the Holy Land is different. The shepherd walks and the sheep follow. There is a tremendous application to this because when the shepherd walks before the flock, he faces all the danger in front. You know that. Should there be some wild beast or a snake of some kind, the sheep are protected because there is a shepherd ahead of them. Here is a picture of our great shepherd. He giveth his life for the sheep. What a wonderful shepherd. Now, verse 4, look again. When he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. And I say, thank God. Every day when you wake up and pray to God, say, thank Lord Jesus, you are my good shepherd. Every day you go before me. Do you have that feeling and assurance? Before you go to work or school or do anything, to know that you have a shepherd that goes before you, to prepare the way, to ward off any danger, and to look after you, to care for you, that you will not come to any harm because he's before you. He's there already. There is immense comfort and encouragement in this. What a shepherd we have. Do you know him today, dear friend? I suspect there will be some visitors, some who have heard the gospel message many a time, but have yet to come to the position to say, I know my shepherd, because he knows me. Is there someone here today who is still wandering, groping, seeking and searching, waiting for the answer to your life problem? Here it is. The good shepherd waits for you to claim him, to hear his voice and say, Lord Jesus, my wonderful shepherd, I know now you are my shepherd because you are God's sent Savior. You're the only shepherd, the only Savior, and I want you to be my Savior. Dear friends, anyone here today in that situation, some visitors, I know there are some friends who have brought friends here. I say to you, dear friend, you have not found the answer to life until you found the good shepherd. Until you have Jesus to be your shepherd, personal. You know, my shepherd, he knows me. I know his voice. He knows my name. Ah, he's so wonderful. Then you find that every day is different from the day before. Every day is good. Every day is different from before you knew him. And when you really know him, you can say, every day with Jesus is better than the day before. That's so. Let's read on. Verse 5, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So it is. This pulpit has been occupied by men of God, faithful under shepherds. Ever since we began here in July 1979, till now 26 years plus, right? And by God's grace and protection, may it always be, always a faithful servant of God in this pulpit, that there will never be another message, another gospel preached from this pulpit ever until the Lord Jesus comes. Why? Because if you let in another shepherd, another person who doesn't know the Lord, then you will get another gospel. I tell you, this is something which is of greatest concern to the Lord Jesus and to us. Now, this book is available in the library. You can get it there. Last Day's Deception. And I have quoted here three authorities. First one is Martin Luther. Right, you all know Martin Luther, and let's hear him say about the thieves and robbers, people who never came in by the door, never came in by the Lord Jesus Christ, who are ordained, reverend, bishop, with clerical gowns, very impressive, in the church, preaching, teaching, leading the people. And Martin Luther says, beware of them. Beware, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, this is what he says. If I protest with the loudest voice, every portion of Scripture, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are attacking at the moment, and I do nothing, then I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. No matter how tremendous I may preach from the pulpit, but when the attack comes, at that particular point, I know it has been attacked, I do nothing. Martin Luther says, you're finished, you're useless, you're not a good shepherd at all. Right? This is Martin Luther. Another one is Dr. Spurgeon. You all know him. Let me see what he says. Spurgeon says this. Now, this is over 150 years ago, right? Spurgeon says this, a new religion has emerged, which is no more Christianity than chop is cheese. You understand the comparison? And this religion, being destitute of moral honesty, palms itself off as the old faith with improvements. New understandings and new kinds of Christianity is coming into the market every day. This is a problem today as it was 150 years ago, as it was 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus spoke these words. The greatest problem is churches staffed by pastors who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ at all. This is a problem today, worse than ever before. Now listen to this. See what Spurgeon says. They reject the atonement, inspiration of Scripture, the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? An influence, not a person. One thing is clear. We cannot be expected to meet in any union which includes these people, whose teaching on fundamental points of the faith is exactly the reverse of what we preach. We preach Jesus died for our sins. They say Jesus came as a model for you to follow. What a difference! Jesus came to set up a moral standard that we all can live moral lives. This is the liberal teaching. And you sit in the church listening to good moralists. You will never be saved because you've not entered by the door. You're not hearing the voice of the shepherd, but you're hearing the voice of a robber and a thief. As soon as I saw, says Spurgeon, as soon as I saw or thought I saw that error had been firmly established in that church, I did not deliberate, but quitted the body at once. Get out. You cannot sit in a church where the preacher does not preach the gospel because he's not giving you the food. He's giving you poison. And then you sit there, eventually you become poisoned to death. So since then, my counsel is the word of God to me. He says, come out from among them. And I felt that no protest is equal to separation. Don't protest. Don't sit there and try to change that particular group of people in their thinking. Why? They have entered by another door. They climb over. And they have another shepherd. They're talking a different gospel, a different language. Convert them? Impossible. Get out. Finally, J.C. Ryle. J.C. Ryle, first bishop of Liverpool. Right? He says, many things combine to make the present inroad of false teaching peculiarly dangerous. How is it so dangerous? Let's listen to what he says. There is an undeniable zeal in these teachers of error, earnest and very sincere people. And they've impressed themselves. People listen to them because they say, oh, he's so gentle, so kind, so earnest, so sincere, he must be okay. And besides, they are ordained, wow, with the big robes and their degrees. Everybody thinks he's all right, but J.C. Ryle says, no, listen, there is a quantity of half-truth. There is nothing worse than half-truth. Sometimes you say, he's right. At times they say, hey, not quite right. But then he speaks the truth again and he says that he's okay. In the meantime, more poison comes in. They are incessantly using scriptural terms and phrases in an unscriptural way. Use scripture to teach something that is against the word of God. The greatest heresies have crept into the Church of Jesus Christ by ordained men, Reverend, Bishop, Archbishop, and the rest. It's good for you if you haven't got it in the book room. Now, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again. Again, I want to stress to you, it's so important. He says, verily, verily. In case your mind is straying, in case you think he's talking something just short talk, some common chat. No, it is not. Verily, verily, says, please pay attention. I'm telling you a truth, a fundamental truth that concerns your whole security, your whole eternal salvation. Listen carefully. Verse 7. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. Now, this statement you cannot interpret in any other way except to say, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, came down to open the way for me to go through that door. To where? To God the Father. You remember in John's Gospel, chapter 14, the Lord Jesus says, I am the way. The disciples ask him, how do we know how to go to the Father? Jesus says, I, no one else, not all the religions. He said, then are the religions no use? I said, no, not at all. I'm not saying that. In a multi-religious society like Singapore, you should have all those religions because we are living in a very corrupt world. And those things must have their own place. And those who will hear them, they will go there. But there is only one way, one door to God, only one. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. If you want to find pasture, security, comfort, hope, and life, there's only one door, only one, Jesus Christ. And this is the message we continue to give to all the people, whoever it is. Preach no other gospel. Today it is so popular. People from Dr. Billy Graham, right down to all the rest of the great evangelists, what are they saying? Every door is good. I said, that is another gospel, which is not gospel. It is a kind of gospel, but it does not lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. This is the second time. Verse 9 is the repeat of verse 7. What does the Lord Jesus say? My friends, you've entered the door, haven't you? All of us in the fold of God every day rejoice because you know Jesus Christ and you've entered in by that door. In verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And this salvation is something most wonderful because you get in there without having to pay. His grace, mercy of God, that you were not judged and thrown out because of your sins. Jesus came to buy you, as we shall read shortly, and you come in purely by His grace. There is no fee to pay, no dues to pay, nothing except to put your faith, look to Jesus, and say, Lord, I need you. I am a lost sheep, lost and undone, without hope, without life. Now I found the door. Enter in, therefore, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Wonderful statement, isn't it? That's why Jesus says, verily, verily. It's not, I entered, I hope to be saved. No, dear friends, it's not a hope to be saved. When you come in, you are saved because you've come in by the door, because you've recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior and your heart has already been given to Him and He is dwelling in your heart as your Savior. Do you know that? Do you have that assurance, please? All of us who have come to this church, even once you should know, we preach none other gospel. Jesus is the door. Enter in and claim Him as your Savior, as your shepherd. You are saved. Saved means what? That moment you look to Jesus in faith, even as the thief on the cross looked to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me. That is faith. That's enough. But we are not the thief, understand, please. You're not the thief on the cross. There's much more expected of you and me. When we look to Jesus, it is a complete union with Him, a complete surrender to Him, even as a maid is married to a man, and she says, I take you for better, for worse. Forever until death do us part. You follow. So you follow the Lord Jesus Christ as the door. If you enter in, you are saved. Instantly, the Lord knows you, and He writes your name in the book in heaven. And you will go in and out and find pasture. What do you mean by going in and out? You come into the fold, you become a member of the flock. And you have security in the flock, comfort and protection from all intruders and harmful animals. Then he leads you. The shepherd leads you. You can go out and in because this is your home. You get the picture? After this service, you go home. You go in? Of course, my home. When you finish what you are doing, you want to go up, you lock the door, you get out. That is your home. This is your home. The flock knows the home. This church is a home to all who will submit themselves to the Lord Jesus, who will come in by Jesus, live by Jesus, by faith in Jesus, every day. Only Jesus, always Jesus. Do you have that kind of bonding with him? Then you come in, you will find pasture. The good shepherd will take you out in the morning. Please understand, he is a wonderful shepherd. He goes out and what they call in your army language called recce. Okay. He goes and surveys the land. He knows where the water is, where the grass is. Then he says, come. And the sheep will know your whistle, your voice, and they'll follow you to the place where you've recced already. And there you'll find pasture. Why? Because you've entered by that door. No other door. Only one, Jesus Christ. And he will look after you. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. This is another very precious verse, verse 10. John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundant means unending. Please understand. So that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you go through the door to what? To life. Amazing, because you've entered by Jesus Christ already. So he assures you, he gives to you everlasting life, life more abundant. Verse 11. Now comes the crux, the punchline, as they call it, right? What does it say? I am the good shepherd. Wow. I thought you said a moment ago you're the door. And you said also he's the porter. Oh, my friends. The Lord Jesus is a master teacher. You don't understand this. Read carefully. Pray for Holy Spirit to teach you. Recognize him. Not only the door you enter, mine. He is also my shepherd. And he's a great man. Let's read on. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, my friends, do you know that when the shepherd at the end of the day counts his sheep and says, one is missing. It may be you, you know. Sheep want to stray and to go get lost. It may be midnight, maybe 1 a.m., 2 a.m. The shepherd doesn't say, I'm very so tired, I go to sleep. No. The good shepherd goes into the night and he goes to look for you. That is the good shepherd. He goes and he may meet some wild animal. He may be killed, possible, but our good shepherd came to be killed. He was not a martyr. It's not because he couldn't help it. He came for one purpose for you. Because you are the straying sheep, all of us. I was a straying sheep. And my good shepherd came just to pay the price for my salvation, to buy me back to God. He came. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's all he does. He came for one purpose, no other purpose. Not to show you how to be a moral gentleman. No, not at all. You can be a moral gentleman because he died for you. He paid the price to forgive your sin, to buy you back to God. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Amazing. He knows every sheep. I'm sorry, I'm the pastor here. I don't know every sheep. I always apologize because I'm human. But he is divine. He knows all of us. Not just know all of us. He knows everything about everyone. You know that? Ah, my friends, He knows all your worries, your desires, your concerns, your ambition, all are known to him. And he loves you. He gave his life for you. Verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Ponder these words, please. Ponder it. 2 days' time, we are going to the Holy Land, right? 41 of us. Please pray for us. We're not going there for a look-see only. Of course, we will look and see. Every day we will have Bible teaching. Every day. Not just every day, but morning and night and in between. We are going to see the places, including Calvary, right? We are going to the place of Calvary. And there we are going to ponder and think and recall how the Good Shepherd went to that place called Calvary. What for? For you, for me. So that we can sit at that spot and recall the day when Jesus Christ in the fullness of time came and went up that cross. He says, no man takes my life from me. It's not because I was forced to go there, no. I lay down my life willingly. Please see that. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, so know I the Father, and am known of my sheep. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. He came for that one purpose, and I want you impress on all of us here, every day think, every day recall, what? My Good Shepherd came to die for me, to take my place. And then what? That I might take it again. What's the use of someone says, I die for you, okay, you die for me, and then you rot in the grave, in the coffin, and get buried, and no more. But our Lord Jesus said, every time he talked about his death, I die for you, I rise for you, every time, without fail. Many times he told the disciples, but the disciples did not understand until they met him. After the resurrection, verse 18, we conclude this with this verse. No man takes my life from me. Yes. Before the time, no one could touch him. If those Pharisees and scribes and the soldiers wanted to kill him before them, they could have if Jesus were not God. But because he is God, because he has a purpose, because he is keeping an appointment with the Father at Calvary on that day of the Passover, no man could touch him until that day. And on that day, he says, I go willingly, not because you arrest me, but because I go to that place of appointment with the Father to bear away your sins. Verse 18, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is the commandment. What is it? I have sheep to be saved. You go. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do we understand this? What have we done, my friends, as we come to the close of this morning's message? What have you done to say thank you to the Good Shepherd? Here is the Good Shepherd who never pondered or hesitated when it came for him to die. He just went. For you and for me, what have you done? Have you ever pondered this? Please do. Ask yourself, how many more days do I have to live? Or years I have to live? What am I doing with my life in the time God has given me? Am I living the life that He expects me to live for Him? Unless we live for Him, we can never face Him on that day and say, Lord, I thank you for dying for me, but I'm sorry I done nothing for you. Is that your answer? Let us ponder this. Let us pray. Our Father, teach us how we all who have received much should return thanks in a meaningful way. How ought we to live? How ought we to witness? How ought we to daily commune with Thee, to hear the voice of the Shepherd speak to us, and to follow Him? O Lord our God, speak to someone today. For there is so much more left to be done, and there are so few to do it. May Thou cause some person, old or young, to consider how that life can be made useful and productive and beautiful for our great and good Shepherd. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.